This is the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, featuring your host, Jenna Erlandson.
Hey guys, and welcome to episode 13 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast. I'm Jenna, and we are all traveling this faithful bridge together. These episodes are just my documentation of the things that God is showing me as I search to understand what faithfulness really means. You can find this and all other episodes at botfpodcast.com. You can also connect with me at facebook.com/botfpodcast. This episode is kind of funny to me. Actually, right as I was writing out and planning what to say, I was mildly freaking out because I had the week wrong and suddenly realized I only had 2 days to write things out, record, edit, and set up the site for launch. I also had a strong-willed 2-year-old refusing to nap, which woke up his brother, who was extremely grumpy with sleep deprivation, also taking all of my time to get anything figured out or have any time to myself. I will be overwhelmed by toys everywhere, trying to prep for dinner, a death in the family, and pregnancy hormones are no joke. Peace is not a word that I would typically use to describe my current state of being. The Bible has a lot to say about peace, probably because it is the thing that every single person struggles with. It has wisdom about how to get peace in relationships, peace during trials, peace with trusting God's decisions, and all I know is I personally often struggle with. Actually, it says so much that there is no way I can cover it in any way that would be comprehensive. So this is going to be a what has helped me in the past couple of months episode that I hope can resonate and encourage you to do your own digging as well. The title of this episode is Peace Be Still, and that's a multi-part command. The most famous verse with this command is Mark 4:39 and the other corresponding verses from the Gospels. At the time of this verse, the disciples are in a boat and a huge storm comes. Now remember, many of these men were seasoned fishermen, so a little rain or wind would not cause trepidation. This storm was so big and terrifying that grown, experienced men panicked and they woke Jesus up from an apparently deep sleep to beg him to calm the storm. And what was Jesus' response? All he said was, "Peace, be still." And the storm completely stopped. There's a lot packed into that three-word sentence. First, peace. What is peace? My trusty dictionary that I think I've had to use every single time says that it's the freedom of the mind from annoyance, disturbance, anxiety, and obsession, etc. Another helpful thing for me was to look at the antonyms. What is not peace? Hate, discord, disharmony, agitation, upset. So the first command that Jesus gives, and also thankfully for us, provides, is peace. Freedom from those words we just reviewed. The second half is to be still. And this one is really hard for me. It's both action and inaction in one command. He's calling us to peace by standing and doing nothing. Why? Because he does it for us. As a mom and a nurse, the thought of being still is almost distasteful. My life is governed by running around, putting out fires, sometimes literally, and the control freak in me actually kind of likes how my actions decide how things go. But then how can I regroup, rest, recover if I'm always go, go, go? I'm human. My battery will die. I'm human. I cannot control a 2-year-old's crazy, let alone any storm that comes my way. So when my storms come, I need to not only remember to wake up Jesus by running to him in my time of need instead of me trying to steer the boat myself, but I also need to listen to the answer he always gives me of hope and pure freedom. Peace, be still. With this episode, I'm going to start with the easiest part of this command because I know that you did not stop to listen to me for several minutes to lecture you about the importance of rest. So I'll get to that part out of the way and we can move on. Rest is another word that I'm still working on building a relationship with, but let me tell you, I do not take it for granted anymore. Have you ever been sleep deprived? I mean, I kind of mean those college nights where you do those all-nighters to get stuff done, but I more mean the chronic sleep deprivation. I had no idea until I had babies. Honestly, I didn't even do all-nighters in college, but basically for almost 4 years straight while my boys were tiny, I did not get a full night's sleep. I was a blubbering mess. There was something about feeling so overwhelmed with exhaustion that every unexpected thing that came my way became insurmountable. I remember feeling so angry all the time and crying at every little problem. I couldn't handle any kind of storm, big or small, because I was just not rested. And I'm going to leave the example at sleep, because otherwise I'll get into a soapbox and talk about how we're way too busy and we need to slow down. Because I'm sure you already know that too. But the point I want to make is that God wants us to rest, because otherwise it's a guarantee that we're weaker and we'll be so much more easily losing our peace. My wisdom in rest and peace is so lacking that I'm mostly going to rely on these anecdotal stories, Bible verses, and lyrics that have meant something to me as I try to understand it better. One thing that stood out to me while researching Bible verses on rest is that even Jesus made a point to do it. Obviously, he needed sleep since the disciples had to wake him up, but also he made a point to be specific about his time to rest. Mark 6:31 through 32. Then Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." He said this because there were so many people coming and going and asking things of him that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. What about those times when you need rest, but you just don't have the opportunity? It's funny to me that right after this verse, Jesus and the apostles only got a short rest until the next crowd of people showed up. But our God is all powerful. And though the rest we want is, say, an 8 hours night's sleep, God promises us the gift of peace and can give us rest and refuel us if we let him. Here are some verses that show that. Psalm 23, 2-3. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Isaiah 40:28-31. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Matthew 11:28-29. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Sometimes you find that perfect quote to segue into your next point. Family expert Paul David Tripp said, "Rest will never come by trying to figure it all out. It only comes by trusting the one who has it all figured out for you." And there's that trust word again. It keeps eking its way into all of my life lessons. But really, doesn't that sound peaceful? Someone already has it figured out for you, if only you trust his judgment. Isaiah 26:3-4. You will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. So we've established that peace is freedom, but how do we get to that point? My personal experience, not according to any scholar, this is just my story and what works for me, is that I feel peace when I feel like I'm safe. Clearly, I mean more than just the physical safety from dangers like fires, accidents, or natural disasters, though I definitely do not have peace in any of those situations. But peace is making hard decisions, peace in making relationships with friends and family, peace in illnesses, peace with the death of someone you love. For me, I feel the most peace in everyday life, especially in parenting realm, when I am reminded of all the promises of peace that God gives us. These are a few that I have meant a lot to me this year. John 14:27. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. 1 Peter 5:7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Psalm 56:11. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? Jesus has gifted us with peace. A peace that doesn't always make sense. A peace that you cannot get through any other means. But it is a promise from God, and as I've learned so much this year alone, to God, a promise is a promise. It's always a promise. Again, I have no expert advice or counseling techniques on how to get through deep or tragic trials, but even more intense verses and stories of what helped other people have moved me while working on this episode. These rough times give us a front row view of God, His power, and how safe we truly are in His hands. These verses, lyrics, and personal stories have way more meaning when they are shining bright in our darkest storms. Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then my faithful love for you will remain. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord who has mercy on you. John 16:33. Jesus said, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. The worship set at my church this week felt like God was personally talking to me about peace. The lyrics to the song Miracles by Jesus Culture are so relevant to this point. I would quote it all, but that would be annoying. So the lyrics specific to me here were, the one who made the deaf to hear is silencing my every fear. And the one who put death in its place, his life is flowing through my veins. Of course, the music and other lyrics add intensity that I just can't convey here, so do yourself a favor and listen to it. I'll put a link into my show notes that will take you right to it. When trying to understand a word or concept, I find it helpful to look at its opposites. To fully understand what something is, I also need to understand what it's not. My personal peace war has been dealing with three main feelings: anxiety, doubt, and worry. These affect all areas of my life, but most specifically, the areas that make me susceptible to anti-peace, if you will, is relationships. Any type of conflict tends to make me panic and anxious. Sometimes I worry almost obsessively over hypothetical bad things that could happen to people I love. And doubting, or arguably worse, forgetting that God can do anything to make it better, so I end up shutting him out and trying to fix it myself. And spoiler alert, that has never worked out well for me. I have found in these times when I'm wallowing in worry, anxiety, and doubt, it's like a big neon sign to everyone around me that I do not fully trust in God in all things. And what does that say for my testimony? And what does that say to my children? Recently, I heard about a pastor's family in Indianapolis who lost their 2-year-old in a pool accident. I have a 2-year-old. And even before this, this has been one of those weird obsessive things that I worry about with my boys. This story shook me to the core because this story could easily be mine. Baby Haddon's mom has been writing a blog about it, and you can see my show notes for the link to this as well. And her words have blown me away and brought me to tears. In one post, she says, I have nothing. I can do nothing in this grief except for yield to the one who chose me for it. I do not understand this, but who am I that I should shake my fist at God for taking my son? Who am I? In all of his majesty and glory, he gives and he takes away. He is not wrong. He is not selfish. He is not punishing me. He is good. He is kind. He is love. If his aim is to refine me through this fire, here I am. I will worship. I will yield. I am his. I am a child of the Most High. I am reminded that he is near. He is with me. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in the fiery furnace, he was there. Do you remember what Nebuchadnezzar sees? He sees a fourth man in the fire. Jesus is there. He is here now. He is near to the brokenhearted. He is here in the midst of my agony. I do not understand what he has done or what he will do, but I will worship. He is my only hope, my only comfort. Now, you may hear those words and think, what is Jen talking about? This woman does not sound like she's having a peaceful time. But that's exactly my point. The peace I'm trying to talk about is the one that Philippians 4:7, Paul calls the peace that surpasses all understanding. And that peace does not mean free from pain, turmoil, or tragedy. God never promises us that. Actually, he warned us that we would have all of these things. But what this woman has at least begun to realize is that in the torrential winds of the most painful storm I can possibly imagine, she trusts that God is with her and loves her. And that, my friends, is the peace that surpasses all understanding. And something I know that she, and especially God, wants you to have too. Another verse that I found in this journey that I think fits well here is Luke 1:78 through 79. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and guide us to the paths of peace. I don't think this is a nice, pleasant, gentle light. When I read this, I picture a forceful shattering of darkness that gives us a direct, clear path toward God. I do an every other week mom's group at a local church, the very one that inspired this podcast, actually. And in it, we get mentor moms, moms who have grown up some children and therefore can share some wisdom of how and hope that we can. One of these moms once suggested a book that helped her through turbulent times. And this woman I speak of lost her husband very early in life while she was pregnant to a rare disease that caused non-cancerous tumors to take over his body. This woman also then had to go through watching that daughter she was pregnant with find out that she had the same disease when she was in her 20s. And because she was a woman, the disease was not quite as quickly aggressive, and therefore it took much longer to watch her daughter for years as she lost her sight, mobility, hearing, and eventually her life. So one like this tells you that this book helped her with peace, then you read the darn book. The book is called Hinds Feet on High Places. It's written in the same style as Pilgrim's Progress. It's the story of a character named Much Afraid, a woman from the Fearing family, who is disfigured and mocked and gets offered an escape from the chief shepherd. She takes a treacherous journey with the companion guides given to her, sorrow and suffering, to the high places to be with that chief shepherd. Obviously, I'm not going to go into much detail about it, but I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to say that they do make it, and in the end, receive new names. Much Afraid turns into Grace and Glory, while her companions transform into Joy and, you guessed it, Peace. One of the major themes of this book is the love of the chief shepherd as he transforms fear into grace and glory through sorrow and suffering, leading to joy and peace. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." We can't even fathom how much God loves us, and he wants to rid us of our fears and worries in our storms so we can further understand that perfect peace that he has gifted us with. Now, to be clear, before we move on, I am not saying that things like extreme anxiety, mental illness, depression, etc. are all things that can be dealt with by quoting Bible verses and making yourself feel better. While those things are just as much from Satan as our anxieties, worries, and fears without the extreme level, I believe that God made us specifically for companionship and to be relational. It is never a bad thing or a sign of failure to go to counseling if they become debilitating. I've done it myself, and I'm a huge fan of getting people in with you to help you fight back, whether that's professional counseling or getting good friends who know you well enough to help you through these battles. And speaking of battles, we're getting to my next point. What are we supposed to do with our peace? Go to war. It seems like a huge juxtaposition to be called to be still and go to war, but since when has our Christian journey been simple and single-faceted anyway? A book that has impacted me beyond what I could possibly convey is The Armor of God by Priscilla Shirer. Every week has a 5-point lesson that digs deep into understanding the pieces of armor described in Ephesians 6. If you haven't caught on to it by now, I'm not sure why you would even still be listening, but just in case you haven't figured it out, one of those pieces of armor is peace. Now, I didn't grow up with Awana or any type of kids program that really talked about these, so I never gave them that much thought until, you guessed it, my mom Bible study. We went through a study of them, but I craved more information and I found this book. It's the perfect balance of real life relevance, humor, really interesting historical backgrounds, and good smack-in-the-face Bible truth. The peace armor is the one I found the most fascinating. Peace is the shoes. Ephesians 6:15. "For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared." The shoes that Roman soldiers, who Paul was modeling this whole thing after, wore were not just any shoes. Someone really put a lot of thought into these. Unlike the typical sandals of the time, most of the foot was covered for protection. The only parts that weren't were the areas prone to blisters. They laced up high, giving support to the ankles, making it easier to traverse those rocky or steep terrains. And on the bottom of the shoes were spikes, kind of like cleats. And these spikes had two purposes, to be able to dig into the ground and to stand firm against forces against us and to be able to move forward despite what terrain had in store for you. These spikes are what stood out to me the most. They can help you stand firm and they can help you move forward. Sometimes in life, we just need that extra foundation to stand firm and not just fall over. This is peace. Colossians 1:23. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. This truth of God's love and the gift of peace are what we stand on to support us from those forces that Satan sends against us and keeps us from landing flat on our backs with the air sucked out of our lungs. Really think about it. So much of our balance depends on how steady we are on our feet. If your biceps are weak, you're probably not going to fall on your face. But if you ever stub your toe, your whole ability to stay upright is impaired, and it's way easier for something to push you over. So when we are not putting on our peace shoes in preparation for the impetus that Satan loves to put on God's children, how can we make any impact for God's kingdom when we can't even stay upright? I love the quote I found from Corrie ten Boom. She's one of my biggest faith heroes. She said, "If God sends us on strong paths, we are provided strong shoes." These shoes that we put on, and we have to remember to put them on, are so important because, yes, they protect our feet and help our balance, but guess what? Eventually, after we've gotten good peace footing, we are going to be called to move. Remember, I'm talking about armor. We're in a battle. The good news is, however, that God fights it for us. Zechariah 2:13, "Be silent before the Lord, all humanity, for he is springing into action from his holy dwelling." And Exodus 14:14, "The Lord your God will fight for you. Just stay calm." This enigma of being still in our peace, letting God fight for us, but also being a moving part of this battle against Satan is so far beyond what I could possibly understand. But I do know that Satan tries to get back at God by attacking us, and God will not leave us unprotected. And boy, Satan really doesn't want us to wear those shoes. Without them, we are so weak and vulnerable. Even if we have all of those others on, he will do whatever it takes to either make you forget to put them on or just try to attack and destroy them. Priscilla Shirer says in the book, "Whenever you feel the overriding sense of unrest inside or overwhelming distress in your relationships, the enemy is somewhere in the middle stirring it up. Anywhere peace is lacking, you can be sure he's at work." The song "Peace Be Still," which was also part of that amazing worship set I alluded to earlier, perfectly ties this episode to the next. The chorus ties peace with action. Listen to these words. "Peace be still. Say the word and I will set my feet upon the sea till I'm dancing in the deep. Peace be still, you are here, so it is well. Even when my eyes can't see, I will trust the voice that speaks peace over me." And I'll post a link to this song as well. I promise it's worth your time. So when I'm still with God, he prepares us for our next step action. And next week we'll be looking at the shield of faith. There are many times in my life where I really do not have peace. But that's honestly kind of my own fault. It's literally right there in front of me. It's a gift given to me by the God who made everything, rules everything, and literally loves me more than life itself. It's a constant. It's a promise. And that doesn't mean that everything's going to be okay all the time, because it's not. But our peace in the storms is understanding who's in charge, who has already won, and trusting in that love and safety that he's given us in Jesus Christ. Psalm 91, 1-4. "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection.
This has been episode 13 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast entitled Peace Be Still. For show notes, go to botfpodcast.com/episode/13. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/botfpodcast.